Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lynn.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lynn's sanity continues here at Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning. How you doing? You good? Let's go on this Friday morning. How's your boy been? 4:03, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. One more hour as we take you all the way to the warm-up show at 5 on the morning after. The New York Knicks, and specifically Jalen Brunson, the superstar, Mr. Clutch, Captain Crunch Time, as Breen likes to call him, comes through yet again with an enormous shot to give the Knicks a 116-113 win. After you heard Marco talk about the ups and downs, the highs and lows of this game, just crazy. The idea that every quarter had such a dramatic swing. I don't know if I can ever remember a game that had such a dramatic swing in every quarter. They're up 14 at the end of one, down 2 at the end of the half. Up 11 at the end of the fourth. Up 11 at the end of the third, and then find themselves down 7 points with 2.5 minutes to go. I mean, it was crazy. And in the end, despite many issues, and I know people are going to want to talk about the issues, and we have this entire morning. We've talked about Karl Anthony Towns and his kind of no-show performance. He couldn't hit a shot to save his life. He looked timid. He passed up open threes. He was short on the second of two very important free throws, to the point where it looked like it was because of nerves. Obviously, the coach, the offense, even though we love Jalen Brunson, and he comes through and he shows us exactly why they play the iso ball they do in the fourth quarter, but still, the entire fourth quarter, it's one thing for the last few minutes of the game, down a handful of points, to rely so much on Brunson. And clearly, they did, and Bridges with the biggest play of the game, in my estimation, with the putback in a game where he really played well. A tip-in that tied the game at 113 off of Bridges' loss, but stagnant offense, wild, you know, fluctuations in the game, can't hold on to a lead, poor defense at times, sloppy with the basketball, no Karl Anthony Towns, no offensive game plan in the fourth, all of that, some of the same things we saw the entire series, and yet it ended the same way we saw it three other times in the six games played, with a victory for the New York Knicks, and really one of the, you know, quintessential right now moments of Brunson's career, with an enormous, you know, crossover dribble to create space at the top of the key with 4 seconds left, hitting a game-winning three-pointer to give the Knicks a Game 6 victory, and they will move on to take on the Boston Celtics on Monday to start a series that I don't know how positive we feel about it. I don't know how much expectations there are heading into this series, but hey, they just came off an incredibly hard-fought team, the Pistons, and a team that's going to play them, that played them tougher defensively than the Celtics win. Will. The Celtics score points. The Celtics hit threes. The Celtics keep coming at you with talented guys who can create their own shots. Sixth man of the year, guys off the bench, role players, stars, you name it, they have it, and it's impossible to stop them. But hey, the Pistons just gave the Knicks a pretty good battle-tested series where they had to be physical, they had to dig deep, they had to pull games out of the fire, every game came down to the last possession. And we're going to find out what this Knick team is made of, and specifically Karl Anthony Towns and the coach. I think those are the two guys, and they're going to work congruently on how he performs. We'll say things about him, and we'll say things about the head coach. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. You heard in the update as well, the other, I guess, story today, if we have to look for one, is Juan Soto in a loss, where the Mets lose a series at home after having so much success to start the year, lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks in the rubber match yesterday, and the only offense is two solo home runs from Juan Soto, who's feeling no pressure, which I found patently ridiculous, because obviously he's feeling a little bit of it. It might not be the reason he's been struggling, and even struggles are so, you know, for a normal MLB player, they'd be lucky to be struggling the way Juan Soto has, but these were the first two home runs at Citi Field. The swings looked like Juan Soto. The home run vibe felt like Juan Soto. The body language was Juan Soto. And normally I wouldn't have to talk about such things, but his body language and happiness and everything about how he's playing, not just the way he's playing, but or not just the success, but the way he's playing, has been under such scrutiny. Those two home runs were nice to see, even in a loss where the bullpen is under a little bit of strain with some injuries. Reed Garrett gives up his first runs of the year, and the Mets, again, offensively, can't come through in big spots. Vientos with a big at-bat. That ends in a strikeout with second and third. So the Mets' offense is still not clicking. The rotation has been excellent, and the bullpen is starting to show some cracks, but they get ready for a series against St. Louis, and the Yankees will welcome in the Tampa Bay Rays. But it's been mainly Knicks on this five-hour midnight ride as we get ready for a huge series against the hated rival Boston Celtics, the defending champs, on Monday. Let's get back to the calls. Ben in Princeton. What's up, Ben?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How we doing?
I'm a little under the weather, but considering all the circumstances, honestly, Chris,
yeah,
gotta make this point. We spoke the other morning. I just wanna say this. Just give me a second. Brunson is a once in a generational player. I'm rooting for this team for 48 years. Mm-hmm. Patrick was the best player in my lifetime that I've seen. They just traded Clyde when I became a Knicks fan. And I'm gonna say this. This kid is incredible. I mean, everybody in the world knew he was getting the ball the last 20 seconds. Everybody. He still found a way to shake off the defender and get a quality shot and knock down a shot. It's just incredible. Yep. That being said, the Towns, like you said, the Towns, no show again. I'm not going to hit a ride Towns. I know he's a very good player, but this is the Broadway life. You can't be a $50 million, one of our so-called superstar go-to players, and come up with that type of performance in game six. It's not going to cut it here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just say this. Like I told you before, I'm rooting for this team for 48 years. Patrick, they never surrounded Patrick with that next player until Patrick was past his prime. Mm-hmm. It will be a cardinal sin if the Knicks, I know they're trying. They have some good pieces around Brunson, but they have to bring that next player to get Brunson to the next level.
Yeah,
we cannot win.
I think this is the team. I don't know what next player are you expecting. They brought in Karl-Anthony Towns. He was a starter for the Eastern Conference All-Star game. Like, I don't know what else you I don't know where they go from here is to get a better player, another superstar. Where? Who? How? They traded five first-round picks. They traded first-round picks for Brunson. They traded their depth for Bridges, like, and some stars, like some other good players. Like, where are they going to go? I mean, for Karl Anthony Towns, like, what are they going to do? How are they going to get Giannis? How are they going to get, like, you know, Kevin Durant?
Giannis isn't the answer. No, those two aren't the answer. Let me say this.
Okay.
We can build it from the – let's say this. Towns is a very good piece, and they can win with Towns, but they have to. It's imperative. They have to develop that bench. They have to bring in some pieces. They have to – because if they can do that, if they can get some solid production of 25, 30 points a night guaranteed off that bench, then this can work. This starting lineup can work. But that bench, the way that bench is right now, it's a little league bench. I'm going to be honest with you.
No, of course, and I agree with you, Ben, and thank you for the call. And I talked about it in the previous segment about the Karl Anthony Towns trade was late, right before the season, and I don't think they had a chance. They got rid of Randall and DiVincenzo in that move, and they weren't able to, you know, replace DiVincenzo's shooting and some other things. Like, I think this offseason is going to be a huge offseason in surrounding the core of this team. But you were talking about it'd be a sin if they not get him that other guy. I think these are the other guys. Whether it's good enough or not, like, I don't know, you know, where they go to make a change on who the other guys are. This is where they drew the line in the sand. They had to eventually make a move and try and get superstars. They couldn't wait around for the perfect one. And they made a decision on Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. This is the core of the team. I do think they can get a better bench, and I do think they can get better role players, significantly better players. But, like, this is it. And, again, I'm disappointed in Towns and his no-show in this game. I think early on he missed some shots, and that scared him off of taking a shot. The one moment to me that was really telling was the open three that he passed up on to, you know, give it to OG Anunoby for a corner three, and OG thought he was so open and that he was going to shoot it that he crashed for the boards and wasn't there to accept the pass that Bridges that Karl Anthony Towns threw him. So, I mean, that was a sequence where, and that's his game. Those open top of the key threes, like, that's his game. He had the best 3-point percentage of the team. Like, that's what makes him special, his size and his outside shooting. Like, yeah, he could post up a little bit. Yeah, he can get around the rim. He's got soft hands. He can hit off balance shots. But ultimately, what makes him special offensively is his ability to shoot shots on the perimeter and create spacing for the rest of the team. But the one thing I'll give him a break on, and I'm in no interest to giving him a break because he did play poorly. He's going to have to be far, far superior and far more consistent if they're going to want to beat the Celtics. The one thing I'll say is in the fourth quarter, everybody disappears. Everybody hides in the shadow of Jalen Brunson. Like, Mikal Bridges got a tip in. That's it. I mean, the offense literally was whoever takes the ball, whether it's if Brunson takes the ball up from either a make or whatever the case may be, then he just goes. But if somebody else has the ball, they just wait, you know, 6, 7, 8 feet behind the top of the key and just wait to hand the ball. Like, literally, they didn't even want to pass it with how tight the defense was playing Brunson. He would come to who had the ball and just they would hand it to him, and then they would go to the corner or whatever, and just Brunson would back in someone and take a fadeaway jump shot. That was the offense for the fourth quarter. So, like, well, where is he down the stretch of the game? I don't know, doing what everybody else is doing, watching Jalen Brunson play. And that's why I don't love the offensive game plan. Now, it worked in the final 2.5 minutes because Brunson's that good. But over the course of the entire fourth quarter, as they were blowing an 11-point lead, they had no offense. They had none. It was the Jalen Brunson show. They've got to find a way to both incorporate his ability to hit these clutch shots and take most of the shots in the fourth quarter while still doing something other than just handing him the ball and getting out of his way. Like, I'll laugh. Like, people will say, hey, he's got to demand the ball. What do you want Karl Anthony Towns to do in the fourth quarter? Like, throughout the game, yeah, I agree. And he tried too early on in the game. He missed every shot. And unlike other great superstars like Brunson, Brunson can miss 11 straight shots. He's shooting that 12th one if you give him an inch. And he's going to shoot it with confidence. Cat got scared off shots. There's no doubt in my mind he got scared off taking shots because he was missing early on in the game. And he said, well, I'll rebound. Then he got 15 rebounds and 5 offensive rebounds, but not good enough. But in the fourth quarter, like as they're losing the game until they turned it around and won it, like, oh, he's got to demand the ball. It would be laughable with the way they were playing, with the lack of movement and just letting Brunson dribble the ball around until he found space because he's excellent at it. If Karl Anthony Towns posted up at the elbow and put his hand up to demand the basketball, I would laugh. I would laugh. I'd be like, just get the hell out of the way. I mean, Brunson's not throwing you the ball there. Like, that's not how they're playing. So, yes, for the first three quarters, really disappointed. Got into foul trouble early on. That didn't help him. He ends up getting fouled out of the game. Didn't play well enough. 15 rebounds for a superstar isn't going to cut it in an elimination game in the playoffs. Totally agree. Disappointed in him. We've seen games where he has risen to the occasion, hitting big shot after big shot, fadeaway jump shot over the backboard. Like, he's been there, and then he's not. But specifically at the end of the game, nobody's doing anything else. It's everybody living in Brunson's shadow. And it worked last night, and it was amazing, and it led to an incredible shot and an incredible moment that will live forever. I talked about legacies. Last night, I talked about Jalen Brunson's legacy and how important it is, because no matter how great you are, and I use the Aaron Judge comparison, no matter how great you are, and I don't think it would take away from his greatness or how much we respect his game or how talented he is, you can't lose to lesser opponents in the playoffs. We won't feel the same way about you. The legacy won't be as strong. Judge is going through that now. No one cares that he's hitting .437. In May. No one cares that he's the best right-handed hitter in a generation. No one cares because he dropped the ball in the fifth inning. That's it. I'll argue that he's great. I don't think it takes away from how great a player he is, but he won't be viewed the same. And last night, those are the kind of moments that we'll always remember and change the way we view him. And right now, there is no other way to view Brunson other than an incredible closer. And at the end of the game, you trust him as much as you trust anybody else who's ever worn a Knick uniform and who's playing in the NBA right now. But it's not going to cut it for an entire fourth quarter or second half against the Boston Celtics. Maurice in Brooklyn. What's up, Maurice?
Hey, good morning. How you doing? This is Maurice calling out of Brooklyn. I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I would just like to say that this series was a cardiac arrest waiting to happen for me. For the most part, me and my wife, we watched the game. She's a big ball fan as well. And for the most part, we enjoyed the series, but last night was a nail biter. And Jalen Brunson, once again, he came through. I don't take nothing away from anybody else on the team, but Jalen Brunson is the heart and the soul and the engine of that team. Without him, that team does not move off the sticks. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. With Karl Anthony Towns, I think, you know how we used to run plays for Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
I think Thibs needs to run plays for Karl Anthony Towns in the paint. He can post up on certain mismatches and then just shoot the little dumper in. I don't like the idea of him shooting 30-foot threes. I mean,
he only took one three, and that three was it was a terrible shot. I agree with you on that one. But if you look at it over the course of the season, he was their most productive three-point shooter.
Yeah. And that's
so I want him taking threes. I want him taking threes. I want him playing on the perimeter at some level. I just don't want him standing there watching Jalen Brunson dribble.
Yeah. Right. Playing watch time with Jalen Brunson. Also, I want to make a point before I get off. We need a three-point shooter similar to, like, I know there'll never be another Reggie Miller or Ray Allen, but we just need someone to be a three-point shooter, because Mikal Bridges is ice cold sometimes. And, you know, we just need someone to come off the bench and give us some threes when we really need them. I would love for us to get this kid in, what is his name, Bridges? Miles Bridges. I think Miles Bridges. Yeah, he had some problems over there where he's at, but yeah. I think he's a great player and he's a good three-point shooter.
Yeah, again, and thank you for the call. It's a fine line of talking about the issues the team has and what they might be missing in a series against the Boston Celtics, and it's another to talk about next year's free agency. Like, I'm not there yet. I'm not. I really don't want to get into specifics about what player they need. They're about to take on the Boston Celtics. Like, I know none of us think they can win, and I know they're massive, huge underdogs. And I think they're a 9-point underdog or an 8.5-point underdog for game one. They're a plus 900 to win the series. Like, they're a massive, massive underdog. But I'm sorry, I'm too excited, as much as I'll talk about the concerns I have about the way they played the game, because I think that's fair. They blew a 15 first half lead and an 11-point fourth quarter lead. Like, it wasn't a great game from the Knicks. They pulled it out of the fire because Jalen Brunson is special. So I'm willing to talk about the flaws. Let's talk about what they need to beat the Boston Celtics. Let's talk about some things, but I can't get into who the next head coach should be. I had to, you know, dismiss that call. I can't talk about who they need as a three. Like, this isn't let's break down the Knicks and put them back together for next year. This is let's get ready to take on the Boston Celtics. Let's go. Let's go. I think they have a chance in this series. It's not over. They haven't even started. The game's in 3 days. I appreciate your call, and I understand your point, but I'm not getting into who the Knicks should acquire in the offseason. I'm ready to get ready for a second-round playoff series against the defending champs and how this team can beat that team. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about you want to tell me you need to incorporate your bench, or you got to let's play the series where, listen, you need Campaign to be that guy. He was in game one. Maybe he can be in the Boston series. You have to try and find scoring from other options. Let's have that discussion. But I'm not talking about who they should bring in next year. And again, you could tell me you have issues with Tibbs. Let's not even talk about who I would replace him with or should he be fired. He's coaching on Monday. I know that. Let's talk about what we need to see from him. Let's talk about our concerns about him. Let's not try and replace him. I was like, I've taken a couple calls. You think Mike Malone? Like, I don't want to talk about who's going to replace Tibbs. One, I don't think he's going to get fired. Two, I don't even think he should get fired. And three, the game's on Monday and he's going to be there he's going to be there on the bench. I think he needs to get Karl-Anthony Towns involved. I agree. I wish Karl-Anthony Towns would do it. I wish it would come naturally. It does some games. It doesn't on others. The games that it doesn't come so natural, I need the coach to do a better job to make sure he gets involved. I'm putting that at the coach's feet. You might find that unfair. You might find it perfectly reasonable. But that's what I'm looking for. When I'm looking at this series here for Tibbs, the different things he can do, the adjustments he can make, they're going to have to get better on the perimeter defense than what they were in the regular season against the Pistons, against the Celtics rather. The Celtics killed them with threes. They have to limit the open threes the Celtics get, because I'm telling you right now, you know, Cunningham was 0-for-8 from three. You are not going to get that from the Boston Celtics. They hit their threes. They've got to do a better job with that, and they've got to find a way to get Karl-Anthony Towns more involved in the offense, and I'm putting it at the feet of the coach. It's not completely his fault, and I don't even know if there's an absolute way to get it done with this player, but I have to see some attempts. I have to see some game plan changes, and I do want to see the fourth quarter different. But having said that, last night ended the fourth quarter as beautifully as it could possibly end, with an all-time shot from an all-time player who is creating a legacy for himself as one of the greatest Knicks of all time. I mean, that's where we're headed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, and half hour left of our five-hour midnight ride. 888-808-1019. Pretty much wall-to-wall Knicks for 5 hours after a series win. A clutch moment that was just incredible. A game where you went from feeling comfortable they would win to making plans for Saturday because, I mean, who didn't think Game 7 was coming? I certainly did. Down 7, there was two back-to-back shots. I can't remember if they were down 5 and then down 7. I think it was both shots down 7. I can't remember. But Brunson went in for a layup and just missed it. And Breen said, that's a shot that Brunson hits 9 out of 10. And when he said it, like after the layup, he said it, I went, oh, geez, he's right. That's a shot Brunson doesn't miss. Then the next possession, he misses a 3. And I'm just, well, that's it. You needed both those shots. And then miraculously, they get the layup and 1. Those were both at 110-105. All right, thank you, Fleeks. Yeah, so they were down only, they were down 5 points at that point.
And then after that missed 3, Tim Hardaway Jr. hit the shot, and then there, so it was 7, and then Brunson scored right after that.
So, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So, they, that's the sequence, right? Like, right there, he misses the layup, he misses a 3, Hardaway hits a jumper to put him up 7. Like, that was just, like, in that moment, you're like, well, that's it. I mean, that's the game. And he comes right back and responds with a layup and 1. You got the tip in. You got the even the foul shots. Let's be, he didn't do almost anything in this game, but Karl-Anthony Towns does get the steal and the foul, misses, hits one shot. And at least on his miss, which was atrocious and made you think the moment got to him because he was so short on it, it barely skimmed the rim, that he does at least, you know, crash the boards and creates a possession for the Knicks that Brunson ends up not being able to even get a shot up off. So, like, there was just moments in this game where I was certain we were looking at Game 7. I was certain I was going to come on here today, turn on the mic, and have to scream about how they blew a 15-point lead in the first half and they blew an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. And instead, more heroics from a guy who is as good at heroics as anyone in the NBA currently and as good as anyone that in my lifetime in a Knicks uniform. So it's an exciting time to be a Knicks fan, even if we are heading into a series that not many people think they can win. 888-808-1019. Brett in Long Island. Hello, Brett. How are you?
Hey, Chris. I went to that fundraiser Sunday. I don't think Gio realized my buddy didn't just bid on the signed Boomer helmet. He actually bought it for like $20. The only problem is the thing can fit over a toilet seat. How big is the guy's head? Chris, I know you're a baseball guru.
Yes, that's
but
right.
You know basketball, right?
I like to think so.
So you know basketball. Okay, I'll take your word for it. So all the same people right now calling and crying about firing Tibbs and what players we can add. Those same people, I guarantee it, last season, toward the end, we were 30-7 at the beginning when we had Randall and we had all of our players. That same team that was injured by the end when we played the Pacers, Everybody thought we just need to add a piece and we can make a run for a championship. You thought it, I thought it, right? So what does Leon Rose do? Dismantles the team, right? Gets rid of, you count the players, five players that are, a couple of them are doing good in the playoffs right now. And what do? Ready for this, Chris? Here's the kicker. Where do you think the Knicks rank offensively right now in the NBA, you know, for the year? Where'd they rank? Go ahead. Offensively, the Knicks.
Yeah, what were they, fourth in the NBA?
Yeah, they were fifth, right. Fifth. Very good. Behind the Celtics.
Hey, I do know basketball
Cleveland.
After all, Brett.
So my point is, what is Thibodeau known for? His whole career.
Yeah, defense and toughness. Yes.
So why did Leon Rose dismantle guys like DiVincenzo, Bogdanov, and give him Towns, who is ranked third for the big men centers in scoring this year? And he can hit threes, by the way. We know that. I know you are. Yeah. I don't want him hitting from the logo.
No, I agree.
I want him to push and bully little guys inside and do little lay-ins. I think I agree with that kind of stuff, like Harden said that. But my point is, why dismantle the team from last year and get these offensive guys and we have no defense anymore? And that's why we'll lose to the Celtics, because of our defense, not our offense.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, and thank you for the call, Brett. I mean, I don't want to rehash why they made the decisions they made last year. We've been discussing this all season, because you need superstars to win. And to give a coach, like, you know, so he's a defensive coach. So what do you got to give him? Nothing but defensive players who can't, like he's got to be able to adapt. Maybe he can get more defensively out of these offensive players and create a better team. It's the same thing I'm talking about with Aaron Glenn right now. Oh, you need a culture guy. He's a culture guy. God forbid you give him anybody who is even remotely possible a difficult player to fit into his culture. God forbid. I mean, he's this great culture coach, but God forbid you give him a challenge in the culture department. We don't want to do that. Like, the same thing with Tibbs. Get more out of these guys defensively. Now, I understand what you're saying, but you need another superstar. And Cat needs to be that superstar. And you have to score in the NBA. And I know the playoffs have been officiated, certainly this last series has been officiated differently, but, like, you got to put up points. You got to be more talented. They took a chance because they didn't think that team was good enough to win. I think a lot of people felt Julius Randle wasn't that second-best player. And so they made a decision that Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges was going to come in here. And Mikal Bridges, by the way, I know they brought in Karl-Anthony Towns. Mikal Bridges has been one of the better two-way players in the NBA. He's a defensive guy. He's supposed to be great on the perimeter. OG Anunoby's a great defensive player. The problem is their two best players and their two superstars, quote-unquote, Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, aren't very good defensively. And it's your one and your five. That's a problem. I agree. But again, we're past that. This is the team. How do you move forward and try and beat the Boston Celtics? I can't rehash why Leon Rose did the things he did. He did them back in October. We can't revisit it. I can't undo it. It is what it is. And now is not the time to try and guess what his thought process was. You're just trying to find ways to defend the coach because you love him. And that's fine. And there are better ways to defend than saying, hey, he took away a team that Tibbs could coach and he gave him a team that Tibbs isn't good at coaching. You know what? You're an NBA head coach. Figure out a way to make offensive adjustments. I'm sorry you're a defensive guy and a hustle guy and a grit guy. Figure out a way to make offensive adjustments. Bring in offensive coaches on your staff to help you make offensive adjustments. I don't know. Figure it out. You brought Karl Anthony Towns in here, whether he was behind it or not. Leon Rose brought Karl Anthony Towns in here to win this series, to be a guy who can take them to the NBA Finals and win an NBA championship. Whether they're going to be right or wrong on that estimation, and right now we all think they're going to be wrong, he's got to figure out a way to use that guy to the best of his ability. Plain and simple. And yes, we'd all like him to be the guy who just, you know, rips off the jersey and the Superman shirts underneath and he screams to the ball and, you know, jumps over everybody and slams it home. But he hasn't been that guy. If you have to cater to that guy, then you have to cater to that guy. Figure out how to make it work. Plain and simple. I don't know if it's possible, but figure it out. Try and figure it out. Do something. And that's what it's going to come down to in this season, this series. How he gets Karl Anthony Towns more involved is going to be what I'm looking for from the head coach. But I'm with you. I'm not looking to fire him. I'm not looking to fire him. I'm not looking to replace him. I'm not looking to make roster changes. The second round starts on Monday. Maury and Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Hey, bro. Tonight is your night, bro.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you took the call from the horse's patoot, but two things. I think, I don't know if you ever heard horse's patoot. I thought maybe you'd like that.
I mean, I'm aware of what a patoot is. I'm pretty sure I've heard it linked with the horse. So, yeah, I'm aware of it.
So check out, this is what somebody said on Twitter, and tell me who it was. Game-winning three with one of the most craziest crossover dribbles I've ever seen in my life. He's a killer. Magic Johnson.
Yeah,
Magic
I was just going to, you didn't even, what is that, a rhetorical question? If you're going to ask me a question, allow me to answer it.
I'm so sorry.
Because I happen to have seen the tweet. I did see that Magic Johnson. I don't know if it was the craziest crossover dribble I've ever seen. I feel like Allen Iverson has done, you know, a million better ones out of sleep. But, hey, it created space. And however he does it, with his footwork, with his crossover dribble, whatever, Brunson, at his size, his ability to create open space to give himself a shot is astounding. It's astounding.
Here's where this series is where Cat's softness is going to be beneficial.
Okay.
Detroit, young, hungry, strong. Those guys are big. Their shoulders. This is going to be good because he can be finesse. He can go down low. He can come out. I think we could use Cat to our advantage. Just Tibbs has to come out with a different game plan than what they saw all year long. I think we're going to win this series. I think we're going to win this series 4-3. I think we're going to go to the, I think we're going to get past this. We might not beat Cleveland, but we're going to beat Boston. I'll tell you why. Because we're hungry, and we almost lost to this team that was hungrier than us, that is younger than us. We were outplayed and out-hustled, but I think if we play the game the right way, we could beat Boston. I'm looking to win. I don't care. I'm not looking to lose. I'm not looking for the coach.
Well, no, listen, nobody – yeah, and Maury, thank you for the call. Because, listen, I don't – yeah, the new coach thing, because if you have any criticisms or you have concerns, it drums up the people out of the woodwork who are looking to fire him. Like, I'm just talking about what I want to see. He's not getting fired. I don't think he's getting fired next year. And honestly, I think it'd be unfair. Because like I said, they made that move for Cat late. They weren't able to build the complete roster. I want to give him one more year with this group and see what it looks like next year. And especially now that they avoided the disastrous loss and almost no matter how it plays out against Boston, they're the defending champs and, you know, an excellent team. It's going to be hard to fire this coach after what he's done over the last handful of years. So let's not even take those calls about firing him. Let's take these calls about what we need to see from him. I'm interested in that. And we'll see how the series plays out from there. But I'm looking to win, too. We're all looking to win. It's going to be a very difficult series to win. And as much as I'd like to tell you that we're the hungrier team and that's why the Pistons gave the Knicks a problem, like, I don't know. I don't know. We're going to have to see that hunger. Because there were times the hunger wasn't there. Let's be honest. Pretty much any time they hit the Garden floor, didn't seem that hungry. Or any time they played the Celtics this season, didn't seem that hungry. The first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter where they blew an 11-point lead, didn't seem that hungry. The entire second quarter when they blew a 14-point lead, didn't seem that hungry. Brunson seemed hungry at the end of the game, and it's going to take more than that hunger to figure out a way to beat the Celtics. It's going to be a very difficult series. It's going to be a completely different series. And the one thing I'll say about the Pistons is I think they benefit from it. I do. I think they benefit from this hard-fought series. It's going to be a different series. It's not going to be nearly as physical, or I don't expect the Celtics to play this kind of smothering defense and try and get by on that and try and win through that, because you know that you're not talented. They're more talented than the Knicks. They don't have to play that style of basketball to win. So it's going to be different, but all of these close games, all of this physical basketball, all of the mental anguish that it cost to beat the Pistons, I do think plays into their favor moving forward into this Boston series, but it won't be the determining factor, and it's not going to be enough if they're going to want to beat this.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Team.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Woo! All right, 4:49, McMonagle here with you. You know, Maury mentioned the tweet from Magic Johnson, who talked about the shot at the end of the game and referred to it as one of the best, or, you know, one of the best crossovers I've ever seen in my life. I just saw an angle of it from behind. First of all, Thompson is like reaching over and is kind of grabbing Brunson from like the back of his shirt, reaching around him and grabbing the back of his shirt. And the crossover, while not like one of the great, first, it sends Thompson completely, you know, off balance, a good, you know, 4 or 5 feet away. But it's not one of the great classic crossovers, but he does kind of lose balance from it and has to go through his legs. It's actually a nicer crossover than I first gave it credit for watching it now. He kind of puts it through his legs to get back to his right side while he's got kind of Thompson hovering over him and grabbing him from, you know, the back of his jersey. His ability to create space is what makes him special. His footwork is what makes him special. And obviously the ability to hit these clutch shots in a game where really from three, he wasn't really feeling it. He was 2 for 9. He ends up 3 for 10. In that moment, he's 2 for 9 from downtown. And yet, when it's needed, there he is. And his ability to create space and get open, I mean, and it does. It's obviously from three, not in more like behind the foul line than Jordan shot, but it's like from the same area on the court, that same angle. The defenders go in opposite ways. The crossover is an opposite direction crossover from Jordan's, but it's similar to that Jordan shot. It's a crossover leading to an open jump shot to seal the game. It's an incredible moment. It's an incredible moment, an incredible shot. And we talked a lot last night about legacies and, you know, this town and how legacies are built in these moments. And Brunson is carving out a legacy of clutch, big shot making, big game winning shots, and really going down as one of the better. I mean, we're talking about Patrick Ewing and Walt Clyde Frazier. I mean, Bernard King wasn't here all that long, but I mean, he was referenced a ton in this Piston series because of his success in that playoff series against the Pistons in the mid-80s. So I mean, but we're talking about watching one of the great performers in a Knick uniform of all time. It's really been remarkable from the minute he was signed, and really not much. I didn't really think much of it. He had a very good playoff series. No doubt he stepped up and played well for Dallas. But ultimately, I thought he was a nice little piece, but I did not. Who saw this coming? I mean, it's crazy. Jack in Brooklyn. What's up, Jack? You're on the Fan.
How you doing, Chris?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have 2 points. Number one, I think the Knicks really got to add in the pick and roll. If you saw tonight, you saw, you know, the way Cade and Duren was doing the pick and roll. They're killing the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, last year they had with Hartenstein, and they just used to have, even Mitchell Robinson back in the day, they used to lob it up, and the guy used to slam like crazy. I'm like, I don't even know what happened to him.
Well,
after the injury, Scott had to jump.
No, I mean, listen, he was getting rebounds and he was putting some back, but I don't know if you want, in this game in particular, every time they tried to get him the basketball, it was an issue. It was either thrown over his head or he couldn't hold on to it. They could not get Mitch the basketball under the basket, no matter how open he was. It was ridiculous. But yeah, listen, yeah, something pick and roll with Mitch or with Kat, or, you know, I think they, you know, every pick comes with a somewhat of a natural role to it. But I mean, it hasn't been as proficient as it was at times last year, and Hartenstein used it to a much better degree this year. But yeah, I mean, if you can get the pick and roll at the elbow or something leading to an alley-oop, sure. But like, I guess the Celtics used it, that's for sure.
And number two, when Brunson was out, the guy that stepped up was OG.
No doubt.
And he's the way he used to carry the team. He used to go to the top of the key. He had to drive like a man. He goes right all to it.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not. He's stuck in the corner sitting there waiting for a shot. I don't know why he's not on the top of the key running the show. You know, maybe he's not
times,
the top guy.
Yeah, listen. Well, he's looking. Yeah.
You know, he's sitting there in the corner. You know, I think he should be running the show a lot more.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. Listen, he hit big shots early in this game, and he had a couple of first halves in this series where he was really impactful scoring the basketball, and then it kind of gets lost in the second half. But early on, his defense in this series was excellent. He hits four. He's 4-10 from downtown. He took a bunch of threes in this game. But yes, he was creating his own shot. When Brunson was down, we were all expecting, or hoping at least, that Mikal Bridges was going to be the guy who stepped up offensively. And for a night or two, he did. And he hit the buzzer beater against Portland. But for the most part, it was OG Anunoby who stepped up offensively and had, what, 8 or 9 straight games of 25 points. And yeah, he can get to the basket. He can create. That's what I'm talking, like, try and find ways to get him more involved. And they have early on, and then it kind of gets lost. But he's got to get more involved. Carl Anthony Towns got to get more involved. Like, they do. And especially in the fourth quarter, you can't just play the way they play in the fourth quarter. As great as Brunson is, he's not going to be able to pull out of the fire against the Celtics night in and night out. Mitch in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Big. Good morning, Big Mac. How you doing, my friend? What a great Knick game last night. I was driving for the last, I had to pick someone up at the airport, so I had to listen to the game on the radio. But I got to tell you something. What a game. I got to tell you, this is how I look at it. Everyone, you know, forget about, you know, everyone's calling about Tibbs and this, that. Enjoy the win. Let's go. Let's get ready for Monday night against Boston. We'll take one game at a time. But here's the two things. Brunson played a great game. He looked like he wasn't tired. But one thing that I just don't get for them, why does Towns like taking these almost half-court shots, and instead of going down to the low post, put him down the low post and be dominated like that's how he should be, he likes these long shots. That's number one. Number two, when there's a run, why doesn't Tibbs ever just call a timeout to stop the run? It's very frustrating, Big Mac, that he does that. And number three, I need your email, Big Mac, so I can send you the ticket, because you know what it is. In 2 weeks from today, you know what it is, right, Big Mac?
Yeah, game 6 of the Celtics series.
Oh, yeah, we got that, and we also have, we got New York Yankee baseball versus the New York Mets, so.
Yeah, listen, I'll get you the email, all right? You have Sal has your contact information, right?
Sal has it.
I'll reach out to Sal and I'll send you my email. Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate it. Yeah, and you made a good point about the timeouts too. There were a couple of runs. Now, I remember one in specific where they didn't call timeout, and they dribbled to the baseline, and it felt like they were going to call a timeout, and Hart kind of fooled them and went to the basket and got a layup. But yeah, Tibbs, there was a bunch of runs where Tibbs did not call timeout. I know he likes to let it play. I get it. And sometimes I agree with him. But you got to cut the momentum a little bit. I agree. I think he had a bad game with that, too. Now that you mention it, we haven't brought that up. You're right, Mitch. There was a couple of scenarios, especially in that second quarter, where they went on these runs, and it was just like, you know, call a timeout. He's kind of lost on the timeouts, too, to be fair. I mean, I don't want to kill him because I love him, but, I mean, it's just true. He was kind of lost on timeouts. He was lost the other day, not calling a timeout to get Jalen Brunson back in the game. I mean, look at how Brunson plays at the end of the game. This is almost more of an indictment on that. They were down 7 points with 2.5 minutes left in this game, and Brunson pulled it out of the fire. And in that situation the other night, you don't call a timeout to get Brunson in the game. Look what he does when he's in there. In these moments, I don't care how bad he was playing that night. You have to get him in. This is like almost more proof that that was just an idiotic move from Tibbs the other night, not calling timeout and getting him in there. Look, the guy turned around and at the same time, I think the lead was probably less than 2.5 minutes. He turned around a 7-point game almost single-handedly. And in game 5, you let them sit there on the sidelines. Oh, my God. But we made it through. And we will get ready for Monday night and then hopefully the following Monday night, which would be game 6, as well as the first Subway Series game. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Fliegelman on the other side. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Friday. Enjoy the weekend. And we will get ready for a Monday show previewing the series we've been waiting for all season long. The series that will determine what kind of season the Knicks have. The series that they made these trades for to create this team to go beat the Boston Celtics. It starts on Monday. Everybody enjoy the weekend. And until then, have a great time. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.